Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome to the show. The Cardinals have just seconds ago announced a couple of moves that I'll tell you about in just a moment. Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager, will be with us at 10:15 to discuss it further. Then we will be joined by Earl Austin Jr., our radio analyst, Billiken Hall of Famer, one of the greatest basketball minds this town has ever had. He will join us at 10:30 to talk about Robbie Avila. We also have, this is a heck of a guest list, Drew. Doug Armstrong, general manager of the Blues, joins us at 10:45. All of these guests are live. 11:15, Lutz Fan and Steel, sporting director for City. Good game for City last night. 11:30, John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations in his normal slot. So we'll discuss these moves I'm about to announce. And at 11:45, just kind of a combination of everything and some closing thoughts on Whitey Herzog, who I know we've talked about a lot over the last week, but what an unbelievable human being that we all had the opportunity to experience here in St. Louis together. So we'll talk about him and the St. Louis Battlehawks, who put together a great game last night. That'll close out the show as well. But let me get to the moves that the Cardinals just announced. First is Andre Pallante. He has been optioned to Memphis. So the Cardinals have optioned him to AAA, the right-handed reliever, who had some rough moments to start this year. And it looks like they have given him the opportunity to correct some of those down at AAA. They have optioned Victor Scott. Victor Scott has been optioned to AAA Memphis. So the Cardinals are making that move to let him get some seasoning there. We'll hear from Ollie and Mo about it here shortly. But again, I don't think it was too hard to envision Victor going down to get some at-bats and to work on that offense. We know the defense is stellar. The defense, I'd go so far as to say, is elite. And I think someday he will win a gold glove at this level. He is a silky smooth, extremely fast, very polished center fielder defensively. But offensively, he has his struggles. And so they have optioned him in Memphis. Pallante and Scott have been optioned to Memphis. Cardinals just announcing this a few minutes ago. So who's coming up? Pedro Pajes, the Cardinals' third catcher. He's been recalled from Memphis, and Nick Robertson has been recalled. Robertson was the reliever they acquired in the Tyler O'Neill trade with the Red Sox. Why is Pajes coming up? Why do they need three catchers? Because, ladies and gentlemen, Ivan Herrera can hit. And having three catchers and Herrera available to put in the order as a DH, have the backup as Pajes, is not a bad thing. So that is my assumption is the reason for that. But we'll get some clarification from Ollie Marmol and John Mozeliak at 10:15 at 11:30, respectively, here on KMOX. Ollie's going to be with us in 6 minutes, as a matter of fact. We had some day yesterday, sports-wise. I mean, it is a fun time of year, isn't it? I love the fact that the St. Louis Battlehawks are getting people's attention. I posted a little thing that I pulled off of TV yesterday as I was watching it from my living room, and I lamented the fact that I was not in the dome. I kind of, you know, in retrospect, like my daughter walked into the living room, my 13-year-old Audrey, and we had a softball game to get to yesterday, so I totally get it. I love being with her at her softball games. But she looked at me. She goes, "Dad, wait, so this game's going on right now downtown? Like, we have a football team playing in the spring?" I said, yeah, we do. The St. Louis Battlehawks, and they're about to win another game, Aud, and they're going to be 3-1. And I think we need to go down there and party with them. I mean, it looks like fun. And I've been to the Battlehawks games, but I can't wait to get back. That was awesome on national TV in front of an ABC national crowd. And, yeah, 31,000. So that's half the dome's capacity, but it looked and sounded loud. Imagine 62,000 or more. And that could very well be the case if they win the championship. What if they win the UFL? What if they play for the UFL championship at home? That is why I think the UFL did this, as they anticipate this team could make a run, and think about what that would be like inside the dome. If it's anybody other than the Battlehawks, it doesn't really make all that much sense, although I think people would still maybe come out half-heartedly, though. You know, the Battlehawks being in that thing, that would be awesome. Chaffetz Arena, 10,000. They're going to fill that place for Robbie Avila and company, because there is company coming. But Robbie Avila is a special talent. He has officially come out of the portal and joined the St. Louis University Billikens and his former head coach, Josh Schertz, at Indiana State. This player, folks, is the real deal. And I've been telling you about Indiana State for 2 years now. They have great ability to cut, pass, score. They do it at a very high rate. They can defend, too. Now, they were the second best. Actually, they were number one in the Valley in defensive efficiency. They were a very good defense last year, but they are, make no mistake about it, about selling tickets for offense. I mean, this SLU team is going to play. No, they don't have Kent or Larry. They went to Texas. No, they will not have Ryan Conwell. He went to Xavier. Isaiah Swope, the last I checked, is still out there. Not official yet, but boy, he'd be fun. He sure would be fun. The former USI star who went to Indiana State, could he come out of the portal and join Avila at SLU? And then you have all the other players. You already have Hughes and Thames coming back. You have Gibson Jimerson on this team, dropping threes off the dimes from Avila. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the Billikens. This is going to be fun. So we'll talk to Earl Austin Jr. about that at the bottom of the hour. And Cardinals coming up in just a few minutes. And then that leaves us with something else that happened yesterday locally in that city. City went over to Kansas with a lowercase k, and they played a phenomenal first half of soccer. I mean, just absolutely maybe the best that we've seen since they came here, since they started. And can't come here, they started here. And it was so much fun, and that's why it would have been so disheartening to lose that game. And Thomas Totlin said, not today, and found a way to score, and in that final minute, an electrifying goal for the crowd there. I'm so excited for all the City fans who traveled over there to watch it. And for folks that aren't soccer fans, it's okay. Understand that that is a tie that you absolutely are happy with. That is a point that you're thrilled with. It's the first time they've gotten a point over there. And I think it is going to be a lot of fun to watch this team continue to get into dangerous areas, great chances to score. And that is a really, really nice outcome for them against a team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year. So we'll get into that with Lutz in an hour. Coming up next, though, it's Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. We're going to give him a call in his office and chat with him a little bit about these moves that they just made. We'll repeat the moves in case you just tuned into the radio. Victor Scott has been optioned to Memphis. So has Andre Pallante. The Cardinals have made the exchange by bringing up Pedro Pajes. He is back with them, their third catcher. And Nick Robertson, the right-handed reliever that they acquired in the Tyler O'Neill trade with the Red Sox. We will take a quick timeout when we come back. Ollie Marmol on KMOX. And we are joined at his normal time by Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. In fact, we're just a little late getting to you, so apologize for that. 10:18. I know it's tight over there at Busch Stadium. Thank you for being with us. How are you?
Doing well. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. I always love that you give us the opportunity to chat with you on these Sunday mornings, and even better when we have timely news that came across just minutes ago. So I announced the moves that the Cardinals have, so I'd like to get your comments on these four players, if you would. So here, for folks who did not hear, Andre Pallante and Victor Scott have been optioned to Memphis, and the Cardinals have recalled Pedro Pajes and Nick Robertson. Let's begin with Victor, who made the team, and the transaction was made right towards the end, but he did make the team out of the offseason and into opening day. What has been your observation of him, and what's the reasoning behind optioning him to Memphis?
Love Victor Scott, and this move is more so for his development to get everyday at bats in AAA. Was able to sit with them this morning and kind of talk through how he's feeling and what he feels he needs to do in order to get on track. And man, his demeanor and personality is awesome, Tom. And I mean, it was a really good conversation. And in his words, he said, "Listen, I need to get real at bats underneath. I need to get down there and get to work and feel like I can get some ownership over some things and get back to spraying the ball and hitting line drives and using the short game and being able to bunt and do some things defensively as well." So he feels like there's work to be done, and doing it in an environment like AAA makes the most sense. So great conversation with him. He's ready to get down there and get going, which is a positive.
I feel like as good of an athlete as he is and a terrific polished outfielder that he is, maybe his best thing is just his attention to detail. He sounds like somebody who is very much a note taker, wants everything to be in line. That is part of his personality. Is that right?
Yeah, and he, don't get me wrong, he wants to be up here. He wants to contribute to helping the big league team win, but he also knows that he's got some work to do, and he's eager to get down there and do it. But his attention to detail is great. The way he thinks about things, he's able to take a step back and not allow things to kind of speed up on him. So the exposure to this level is great for him. He knows what he needs to go down and do, and he's eager to go do that.
What does that mean for center field for the time being, Ollie?
Yeah, you'll see Ciani in there today. There's a combination where Newt may get some opportunities out there, but Ciani will play center today.
Ciani with a couple of hits yesterday, and we know what he can do defensively. Goodness, what a catch that was! That was one of many that he's had yesterday.
He's a mature kid. Doesn't scare. He knows his game. He knows he's going to have to move guys over and bunt and use that as part of his game. He's good defensively. He's short of the ball. He's going to take a good at bat and control the strike zone. And yesterday was a good day for him.
But you do like Newt there as well. So Lars would get some chances there as well.
Yeah, he's going to work out there over the next couple of days. But Ciani will play center field today.
Gotcha. Okay, so then Pedro Pages recalled. We know what we've seen from him. He is your third catcher. What went behind that?
Yeah, it allows us to use Herrera a little bit more often, whether that be off the bench to pinch hit and not have to worry about not having the extra catcher. He can DH or Wilson can DH and vice versa. And it just gives you a little bit more flexibility in how you use those two guys. They're swinging the bats well. Wilson's feeling really good about where he's at. Herrera's taking a really professional at bat. And in order to use that more often, having the third catcher makes sense.
I can see it. I mean, he certainly has that hitter's approach. He looks like a hitter. He looks like someone who's very comfortable at the plate. And Pages has also caught your eye, hasn't he, over the last couple of years with his ability to receive, but also as a teammate, I feel like he's highly regarded.
Yeah, guys like having him around. This is a guy, he's a team-first guy. Does a really nice job receiving, has worked extremely hard to get here, and he's adding value. So we're excited to have him back.
Contreras, Herrera, Pages with that DH, certainly working in your favor there. And then the pitching moves, Ollie. Andre Pallante, we've seen him for a long time. We know what he was working on in the offseason to get better. He has been optioned to Memphis. Your comments on that?
Yeah. Needed a fresh arm here in getting Robertson up here. And Pallante is working on a couple different things. Two-seamer, we got to figure out a way for him to have more success against right-handed hitters. Does a really nice job of getting that fastball in on lefties. And, I mean, there's not many people that get the amount of ground balls that Pallante gets. But finding a solution for the right-hander is important. He's been working on a four-seamer that has pretty good carry and a two-seamer that he can run into the righty. And in conversation, we're going to have him lengthen out down there in AAA, and next time out, be able to throw closer to 60 pitches or so, and really work on just the reps of getting that new pitch in the zone more often. So that's something that he's eager to work on as well.
And Nick Robertson, who we saw in spring training as well, he had the ability to do a lot of things for you. He was acquired in the Tyler O'Neill trade. What does Nick bring to the table?
Yeah, you're looking at a guy with a mid-90s fastball and a slider changeup mix. He's going to have really some protection today. You look at our bullpen and what was used yesterday, Polanco is going to be down for several days, and this allows us to have a fresh arm.
What did you think of yesterday? I mean, the 12-5 loss to the Brewers, there's obviously the home runs that Miles gave up make a big difference. At the same time, your offense started to show some signs. I mean, I know you're not happy with any loss, but just your overall view.
The first one is the one that gets me. We have to be able to win that first game. I mean, the staff does what they did in order to get to the ninth with only allowing one run, and you got to win those ball games. But yesterday's game, those are going to happen where you just give up more hits than you want, more runs than you want, and Miles wishes he could get a couple of those pitches back that were hit hard. Those are going to happen, but the ones that opening game against Milwaukee is the one that hurts, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and there's just a lot there. It could have gone either way. And what stays with you the most there? I mean, is it not coming through, cashing in? I mean, you faced good pitching, but not cashing in on an opportunity offensively.
Yeah, we faced good pitching, but you have to beat that style of pitching to win. So that's not an excuse. And we'll get to the point where that's the case. Right now, opportunities came up, and unfortunately, it was in parts of the lineup where guys aren't feeling really good about their swing, if I'm being honest. They're working on it, and I think we'll see a better version of Gorman. He's making some adjustments over the last 2 days, and I think we'll see a much better version of him today. Hopefully, it starts to carry into the game. But, yeah, I mean, spots came up. We could have cashed in, and we didn't, bottom line.
Yeah. Goldie, what are you seeing out of Paul Goldschmidt?
Yeah, I sat with him this morning, and he's in a good place mentally. He's grinding. He hates every bit of what he's going through right now. This is a guy that really cares about the team over himself, and he's trying to figure out ways to contribute. Right now, he's in a little bit of a funk swing-wise and mechanically where it's just not going his way. He's working at it, and his hope is that it carries into the game today, but there's no timetable for this. We saw Nolan go through it early in the season where he didn't feel great. And then he gets a 3-run homer and it kind of clicks from there on. So that's what we're hoping for a couple of these guys, to be quite honest.
Well, how do you see it when it comes to Jordan Walker? Because he's so young. Of course, we all know he's still developing, but you do need him, don't you?
We do. And we need him to, you start to look at some of the adjustments that he made towards the back end of last season, and it's a game of adjustments. They're going to continue to figure out ways to expose your weakness, and he's working on ways to combat that. And it's not easy, especially when you're trying to make those adjustments at the highest level. And he's another guy that it's not a lack of effort or work. I mean, he's down there right now as I'm on this call, just getting after and trying to figure out a way to combat it. But, right now, it's not carrying into the game, but it sucks. But he's working hard at it, man. It's a tough game.
I hear you. Let me end on a positive. Everyone always pokes fun at me for being the eternal optimist. You're giving the ball to Sonny Gray today. So today's a good day. When you get out there, a ball game's a ball game, but that has to feel good.
It does. And listen, man, it up to this point, our offense obviously has not looked the way we would have thought. Our pitching has done a good job. Our starters are continuing to do a nice job and give us a chance every day. Our bullpen, for the most part, has been really good. And when we have a lead and hand it to those guys in the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning, man, they've done their job. Offensively, we'll come around. We'll have Burleson in the lineup today. He's been taking some really good at-bats. And I do feel like it'll start to come together here soon. But, yeah, we definitely need it.
Appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on Wednesday as well for your thoughts on Whitey Herzog and more. And we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, brother.
There's Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager, with us on KMOX. It's 10:28. When we come back, Earl Austin Jr., you know who we're going to be talking about. Robbie Avila. Not just him, but Josh Schertz and the Cardinals, Billikens, City, Chiefs. They all run right through these hallways, and there is brightness ahead for the Billikens franchise. and organization and university and institution. It's coming up next.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
I felt like I was in high school again, you know, going through this entire thing. You know, I appreciate everybody that reached out, you know, showed their interest to me. I spent my last 2 years, you know, at Indiana State. You know, I had a lot of fun there. You know, we had a lot of success, you know, under Coach Schertz. And, you know, I quite frankly don't think there's any reason not to stay away from him. So I will be committing to the St. Louis University. I will be going ahead and play under Josh Schertz again. You know, I trusted his path for me these last 2 years and, you know, trust what he has planned for me these next few years. And so I'm excited to get over there and, you know, do the same.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I think that we did at Indiana State and win some games.
To no surprise of anyone, that's Robbie Avila, the big man from Indiana State, officially announcing his transfer to St. Louis University. And we're joined by a happy man. That would be radio analyst, Billiken Hall of Famer, Earl Austin Jr. I know you were happy to hear that news officially, Earl. How are you? And thanks for joining us.
Oh, T.A., nice to be here. Thank you for having me. Yeah, very ecstatic to... First, obviously, that Josh Schertz is here, but Robbie Avila making it official yesterday, and very big day in Billiken land, and especially somebody who still enjoys the big man in today's college basketball to see one of the best come to St. Louis U. I'm very thrilled to see that.
Absolutely, and as people have observed, he is not your traditional back-to-the-basket big man, as he can dish it out. He can shoot it. He can do just about everything. Can he, Earl?
Oh, yeah, he's kind of a hub of your basketball team because, like you said, he's just so skilled. Like you said, if you watch Denver and Jokic and the way he just dictates a game, Robbie's got that similar ability. So he can stretch the floor with his three-point shooting. He can also, like you say, back it down with his big body and get buckets, but what sets him apart obviously is his court vision. I mean, he's a tremendous passer, and he hits you on backdoor cuts. He can, you know, little handoffs, and he just has a good high basketball IQ about himself, and it's just kind of the total package offensively in that regard. You can, like, play your offense through him, and that's what's so good about it.
That audio was from the Field of 68, which is Jeff Goodman's platform. I'm not really sure how they acquire the rights to have the exclusive announcement, but at any rate, it's kind of funny to me, the transfer portal, it has become like the new recruiting announcements. As he said right there, he felt like he was in high school. It's like a high school announcement. Earl, I think we all knew and assumed that he was going to go to SLU, but it was sort of hanging out there because I'm sure he received Power 5 offers all over the place.
Yeah, he really did. Like you said, big men, good big men, just established big men are hard to find. And then if you look at what happened in the NCAA tournament with Zach Eady at Purdue, Klingon at Connecticut, DJ Burns at NC State, big men kind of ruled the day to help leading their teams to the Final Four and everything. So, you know, after a couple of great years at Indiana State, you know, he got hit from every power conference, but he said something that was very interesting. He said that Coach Schertz saw something in him, even back when he was in high school, where a lot of these guys really didn't look at me that way. They really weren't paying attention or didn't think I could play at that level, but Coach Erks thought he could. So it was kind of like the old Mike Jones rap song back in the day. They didn't want me. Now they all on me.
That's right.
That's what it reminded me of, or the Vapors, like Biff Markie back in the 80s, if you're on your game there, hip-hop game in the 80s. So there was an amount of loyalty that he showed to Coach, and that he saw he had that vision to see what Robbie Avila could become, even at Indiana State. And hopefully SLU will get the benefit of that the next couple of years.
Good reference. Back then, they didn't want me. So, you know, you look at Schertz and what he's done so far. He brings in let's discuss, before I go back to Indiana State in that starting five, the two recruits that he has announced. Earl, what do you see in those two?
Well, you say two good high school recruits. You got a very talented big in Max Picard from the Netherlands, played at Sunrise Christian. He's a long, thin, very athletic, skilled big. He's about 6'11", about, you know, I guess 210, 200 pounds. He can shoot the tape. I've seen he can really shoot the ball, very mobile, can block shots. So a really good young man that you can develop over the course of his career, you know. And then yesterday he got a really good guard in Amari McCutchery out of Wisconsin, the top unsigned player out of Wisconsin there, led the St. Thomas Mortimer State Championship. He's a 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", combo guard, played point in high school, but can play the wing, can really score, rebound, and very explosive too as well. So two very, you know, you're working the portal, but you're also getting some very talented young high school players as well.
If you look at Indiana State's starting five of Julian Larry, Isaiah Swope, Ryan Conwell, Robbie Avila, and Jason Kent, three of those five have gone elsewhere. Avila, of course, going to St. Louis, but the other three, Larry and Kent, have been taken by Texas out of the portal. Kent, a tremendous cutter, and Larry, a very experienced, very strong as he's kind of gotten older, point guard. And that leaves Conwell, a 6'4 guard who goes to Xavier. Isaiah Swope hanging out there. What do you see there?
I think imagine as a very talented guard, a lot of people looking at him as well, but I think a lot of indications look good for St. Louis U's and on the mix too as well. So I understand he's going to make his decision tomorrow, finals, or next day or two, whatever. But it's funny because Isaiah, I remember, of course, in addition to me and Rammer doing SLU, we do Lindenwood games. So we saw a lot of Isaiah Swope in the OVC, I believe, when he played at Southern Indiana. Very talented scoring guard. So we'll see if that comes to pass. That would be a great addition. But he's a very good guard.
Sure.
Really, really score.
Yeah, and he got better. I mean, a lot better.
Yes.
Under Schertz at Indiana State, without a doubt, which kind of brings up my next point. With all respect to Conwell and Larry and Kent and Swope and Avila, for that matter, although Avila seems like the hub of it all, the offense was assembled at Indiana State in pretty short time. I mean, the only guy that came over from Lincoln Memorial, I believe, was Xavier Bledson. And so I guess my point is, can Josh Schertz do this with Thames, Hughes, Jimerson, Avila, maybe Swope, and a couple of the recruits, and maybe some others?
I think you're in a good spot, and I think that's probably the other biggest piece he got out of the portal, other than Robbie, was getting Gibson out of the portal. Not only do you get your best player back from last year, but an experienced player who really fits into the way Josh Erks played. I think all Josh probably had to do is say, he flipped in a tape and said, look at yourself, you know. Gibson, of course, is as good as anybody moving without the basketball, cutting, and then obviously his three-point shooting. He's one of the best in Billiken history. So he's a young man that could probably score with the same efficiency, score like he did last year, without working half as hard. Remember last year, Gibson was like had needed a saddle on his back, the way he carried people, or holding, grabbing. He still gets you 15, 16 points a game as the number one option. Now he gets to do it in a system that's free flowing, freedom of movement. So yeah, and I think Larry and Kellen are two young men who really got a chance to play a lot, even though obviously we didn't win a lot of games. Their development in that year was so big. You've seen Larry's got the ability, he's long, athletic, and can shoot it, and he's a really good defender. And Kellen really showed in the minutes that he played, where with his explosive athleticism. And Kellen wasn't a good three-point shooter coming out of high school, but he showed in a small sample size about 35-36%, which was pretty good for somebody that wasn't his strength. And then he has a high motor. So right now that six is a good nucleus to start with already. Obviously, you need more pieces as well. In the A-10, the A-10 is a tough league. You know, VCU, Dayton, our bellwethers of the league. Loyola down in Chicago's loading up once again. They were a two seed, and they're loading up again. Davidson kind of down by, I should say, Richmond was very good. Chris Mooney does a great job. So to compete in that conference for a championship, obviously you need more, but we're off to a great start, I believe.
Yeah, Thames is 6'5", Hughes is 6'4", and especially in Thames' case, looks like he has some room still. His ceiling is extremely high. Hughes has shown us a lot already. It should be fun. Earl, it's always fun talking hoops with you. I could do it for 2 hours, but I'm going to have Doug Armstrong on next. But you are the man. Thank you for joining us and talking about Robbie Avila and this Billiken team. We're going to have a good time together.
Absolutely, TA. Thank you for having me always.
Appreciate it. From St. Louis American, from KMOX Radio, from the Billiken's Radio Network, and from the Billiken's Hall of Fame and Lindenwood, should I mention as well, Earl Austin Jr. Let's come back in about a couple of minutes. We'll be joined by Blues General Manager Doug Armstrong live on KMOX's Sports on a Sunday Morning, sponsored by Graybar. Hey, happy birthday to Earl Austin Jr. I didn't know that until after we hung up with him. Happy birthday to the Billiken Hall of Famer. That is awesome. I just sent him a text. I appreciate him joining us. Cardinals manager Ollie Marmel joined us in the first segment. He told us that he had a meeting with Paul Goldschmidt where they sat down and chatted. The lineup is out, and Goldie is in the 5 spot today in the order, and they have put Wilson Contreras second. Donovan Contreras, Newt Barr, Arenado, Goldschmidt, Burleson, Mason Wynn, Nolan Gorman at second base, and Michael Ciani in center field with Victor Scott getting option to Memphis. A lot going on. We're joined by Blues general manager Doug Armstrong. I'll tell you, what a show we have today with John Mozeliak and Lutz Fahnenstiel next hour. Army comes in. Now we're talking. We get the Blues general manager with us. We love when you're on. It makes, for one, you talk about lineups. We got you hitting right in the middle of the order, Doug Armstrong. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on today.
It's great having you on. It really is. But I know that at this time of year, we're looking at 2 months of postseason hockey, and it's an exciting time for NHL fans that you are hurting not being in it. Knowing, of course, that you're a developing organization, you would have loved to have qualified. Just your feelings right now with the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, obviously we wish we were still playing. You look at the teams that are playing, and I think we were competitive with that group for a long part of the year. I think we had just too many. Our valleys were a little too low this year, and at the end of the day, there's a couple of games I look back on that really I thought sealed our fate or put us in a bad spot. I'll start with that Nashville game. If my recollection is correct, it was in early March or late November, February, we were 4 points up. We had a couple games in hand, and we could have really put them in a bad spot. They came in here, they beat us, and they played okay, and we just didn't play better than them. And then they went on to, I think, get points in 18 in a row after that. So I think we gave them a little bit of hope there. And then there was a couple of games earlier in the year we had we went into Columbus, and they were coming back home after playing in the island, tired with a bunch of injuries. We lost that one, and then we went to Chicago and lost. And then we had Detroit come in our building playing the night before, I think, and with 8 guys out, and they won that game. And so we just had some losses that like a loss is a loss, but some hurt a little bit more. And those ones really stick out as ones where I look back, and you can take all the San Jose games too, but those ones were really, it felt we needed to make a stand, and we didn't do it.
Yeah. Doug Armstrong, Blues GM, is with us. What do you need most? Let's talk roster for next year. What areas will you be concentrating on where you think you could tweak it to get you to where you need to be?
Well, I think it's patience, quite honestly. That's probably not what everyone wants to hear. But the reality is we, you know, we have younger players. We saw them play. They're going to, you know, to give them the opportunity. Now, they're going to have to earn it. I'm talking specifically about Bolduc, Dean, and Kessel. But I think we our hope is that they come in and have a good camp and get on our roster, and then we have to give them an opportunity to grow and to play. And, you know, there's a couple plays this year. I think there's, you know, they stick out in your mind. Bolduc came out of the corner and fell, pucking it up in our net. You know, those things are going to happen with younger players, and you live with those. And when they happen to veteran players, you're not quite as your appetite for forgiveness isn't quite as great, because they should have the intuition and the knowledge not to make those plays. So I would say that we're going to continue to look for internal growth. If we can implement a player or two from outside that can come in and give us a boost, we'll do that. But again, really what we need is our younger players to continue to grow and play better. Maybe some of our veterans that came back this year didn't have the year that they had hoped or that we had hoped. And so we're just going to need just improvement across our interior lineup before we start looking external to fix our problems.
Did Drew Bannister navigate that challenge to your liking, with young players as well as veterans, having everybody pulling on the same rope?
Yeah, I thought he did. Obviously, he came in a difficult situation. Anytime there's a coaching change, but when the change comes to someone that's beloved by the team, the community, it's very difficult. Craig had a ton of success here and led the organization to the ultimate prize. So you're walking in on that situation, and then, you know, just inputting younger players. I think one of the benefits for Drew is that he had worked with some of these younger guys over the last couple of years, as whether it was a Jake Neighbors in the American Hockey League. So he might not have had the relationship with the veterans, but he certainly had them with the younger players, and they knew what to expect, and more importantly, they knew what he expected of them. And then I thought he did a good job of stabilizing us and getting the guys playing the right way. And again, it's a very difficult league, but I thought he did a nice job.
Now, I respect your job and position, so I know the confidentiality of a coaching search is what it is, so I'll just leave it at that. I'll ask, though, Drew Bannister, I'm assuming, still on the short list, and what is your timeline for a hire there?
Yeah, Drew is, and just maybe a little background on that. When we gave Drew the position, intern position, it was my inner circle. We started to put a list together of experienced coaches, non-experienced coaches, you know, outside the box thinking coaches. And as Drew kept continuing to show us what he could do, that list got smaller and smaller. So we're down to a very few number of people that we have interest in. And on a timeline, our goal is obviously to, not obviously, our goal would be to have someone in by the draft and hopefully before that. But we want to do this correctly, and we'll take the time necessary. I'm hoping it doesn't take, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, but I don't want to put a timeline on it and then not have a coach there and have to answer why he's not there. I thought you were going to have him here by this time, but I would be shocked if we don't have someone in by the draft.
Certainly understand that. And then you have, in the meantime, a scouting trip to Finland for the U18 World Championships, and then you're going to Prague for the World Championships in May, and Jordan Binnington, among others, will be competing there. That's an exciting and busy time for you.
Yeah, it's a busy time. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. When you miss the playoffs, your travel schedule increases to, you know, fivefold. You know, when you're in the playoffs, you're traveling with your team, your home, as much as you're away. The intensity level and the pressure is certainly higher. But, you know, so just insight on what I'm going to be doing on Wednesday. I leave for the U18 tournament, which is draft eligible players for this year. I'll be gone 11 days. Then we're back for, I think it's 5 or 6 days. Then I'll head over to the World Championships to watch players that we can either trade for or sign as free agents. I think this year, as you're heading into international events, the Olympics, the Four Nations, these teams are going to be stronger than ever. So there's going to be a real good competitive tournament, the players you want to see. So that takes us another couple of weeks. Then you're home for a week, and then we go to the Combine in Buffalo. And after that, that's a week, and then we have our amateur meetings after that in the Toronto area. So it's just, you've gone for 10 or 12 days, home for five or six, gone, and then and all of a sudden you're at the draft. And so it there's a lot going on, and I wish it was calmer, meaning we're in the playoffs, but it is what it is, and we got to get back to work.
Not only is he overseeing the Blues, but also hockey operations for Hockey Canada through the 26 Olympics. We appreciate you joining us on KMOX, as always. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you very much for having me on, and thanks for your support all season.
Absolutely. Doug Armstrong on KMOX, back next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.